Life.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
Equality.
Equality.
Remedy. Protection.
Fairness.
Fair time.
Citizens.
Right.
Work.
Peace.
Losers.
Men.
Men's.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raise the wall. And I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
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 Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Work.
Leisure.
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 Health.
Education.
Progress.
Culture.
Human rights.
Charter Dana.
Solid.
Fill in the border. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM and over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on SaskTel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 700. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings with my special guest, Leo Kaiser. Pride Week is on right now in Regina, with the Pride Parade set to help wrap things up tomorrow. Leo is the executive director of UR Pride Center for Sexuality and Gender Diversity, and I was laboring under the misconception that UR Pride was tasked with organizing the Pride Parade, but
no.
I was misinformed.
No, not quite.
So who's doing it?
They are a nonprofit called Queen City Pride, or Regina Pride Incorporated, I think. But Queen City Pride essentially puts on the week-long festivities for Pride Week in Regina every year. So this year it's been, they had a few pre-Pride festivities kind of towards the beginning of the month and maybe middle on in the year to kind of like raise some funds. But the week itself kicked off Monday morning with a flag raising at City Hall, and it will kind of cap off Sunday after all the hectic and fun from the parade's been had. So, yeah, they're a really fantastic group of individuals who are involved in a lot of facets of our community. So a lot of them are involved in places like UR Pride or places like TransAsk. So really great folks doing great work over at Queen City Pride.
Great. My sense then is that if you were going to participate in, they would have liked you to pre-register that you were coming and that sort of thing, so they can put you in an appropriate location in the parade.
Oh, yeah, for the parade.
Yeah.
I think for larger floats, I think they're still encouraging folks, while registration is closed right now, I think mm-hmm. they're still encouraging folks to, if they happen upon the parade, join on in. Like
sure.
if you're walking with your partner, with your family, please just come on in. So I think
sure.
that would be a fantastic thing to do.
So individual participants, if they decide that morning, gee, I think I'm going to go on the Pride Parade.
Yeah. Or they can just find the UR Pride contingent and then walk alongside us. I think that'd be fine.
Okay. Well, where are they going to be? I think The usual sort of marshalling area is behind the club, right?
Yes, so it'll be behind 2070 Broad Street, so the Q nightclub at 11 o'clock sharp. We're going to be starting marshalling, and the parade is set to embark at around 12 o'clock, I believe.
How far are they going to be marching this year?
So we're going to be going down, kind of, we're taking a slight detour because of the construction that's happening on Broad Street, so that's a little bit frustrating, but we're going to be making our way from behind the club over to Broad Street, down to College, north up Albert, and then east down Victoria until we hit our destination at Vic Park.
Okay, what's going to happen there?
There's going to be a lot of festivities. I think there's some dino bouncers and some things for children to play around with. There's going to be, I believe, a beer tent for the adults to have a refreshment after the parade. There's a stage, so there's going to be a few performers, I believe. And around 3 o'clock, there's going to be an art, a performance art installation co-put on by the Dunlop, actually. So there's going to be a large kit drum circle, which should be kind of interesting.
Okay. Well, is this fairly new, like this stuff after the parade? Like, I don't know. I do have a short memory, but I don't remember this happening last year.
It did happen last year, actually. Okay, yeah, then. I think Vic Park has been going on for 3 or 4 years now, and if I'm wrong, I'm sure
I've been missing something. Then,
yeah.
When the parade was over, I was gone.
Yeah, no, like there's been a little bit of a fun wrap up in the park okay. for the past few years.
Just looking at the weather forecast, do we have contingency plans?
I am not sure. I think everybody's encouraging everybody else to bring umbrellas and things like that. So,
I've got a great. Have you seen my umbrella?
I think so.
Yeah, nice bright yellow. You'll be able to find me in the crowd. Yeah.
No, for sure. I think there'll be some tarps, but other than that, I'm not entirely sure. We're crossing our fingers, but I think it might be. Knocking on wood here in the studio.
You just, well, you know, you just don't know anymore.
No.
From one day to the next, something can be forecast, and you get something a little different. When the day actually rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, how long has the parade been in existence?
Well, I know Pride in Regina has been around for about 25 years, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
The parade itself, I think, has been active for the duration of that time. I'm pretty sure.
So we're looking at about 25 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Or at least some kind of marking of Pride for the last 25 years. I'm not really sure how long of that the parade's been active.
Right. And I have, maybe it was a different parade. Has there been times when it ended up at the ledge rather than Victoria Park, or am I thinking of a different parade?
No, I think you might be right. I don't think you're thinking of a different parade, but there's lots of parades, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been involved for that long a period of time, I guess, the last, I don't know, 4 years or something like that.
Yeah.
But, no, this sounds like, especially the aftermath, sounds like it's going to be really interesting.
It should be a lot of fun. It should be a really good opportunity to kind of connect with your community and see who's out being supportive and just enjoy each other's presence. I think that's a really fantastic thing to kind of help cap off what's been a really busy week of events and community building, really.
Right. We mentioned refreshments. Is there going to be stuff to eat in Victoria Park?
I think so, yeah. I think there's a little bit of a barbecue going on. I'm pretty positive of that.
So the usual sort of burgers and hot dogs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, veggie options, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess we'd like to emphasize here that there's really no age limit,
no.
Big or small. Oh, I remember seeing a question. Somebody was asking whether the parade was dog-friendly.
Dog-friendly?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, I took my pup last year, but, I think lots of people bring their pets, lots of people bring their families. It's kind of common sense.
Like, if it's a really, really hot day, maybe it should leave the pooch at home.
Yeah, and similarly, like, if puppy doesn't play well with others, maybe give puppy some time alone at home.
Yep. Yeah, I've got a pooch that, I don't know, I guess if I didn't have to do anything else but look after him, it would be fine. But, you know, you couldn't really kind of ignore him.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So what if you're not in a marching frame of mind? Could people just come and join the festivities at Victoria Park after the parade?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There'll be spaces to kind of watch folks going by in the parade as well. If you're not feeling up to it, if you're feeling up to bringing a bike along with the parade, please do. Ride safely, please. Mm-hmm. People can certainly join afterwards as well.
Right, yeah. Do you know of any particular highlights that you might... think of mentioning here that people could look for during the parade?
During the parade? Yeah. I don't know. I think everybody's been keeping their marching plans and their float plans under lock and key. So I don't, I'm not quite sure what people are going to be bringing out for the day of, but the theme this year is Paint the Town. So I'm not really sure what that's going to look like. Probably not actually painting buildings, but
there's usually a bit of music involved though, isn't
there? Oh yeah. It'll get loud for a couple of floats. So.
Yeah, so I'm always curious as to how that's going to develop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of surprises and Paint the Town, eh? That's going to be really colorful. By the way, what's the anniversary of the sign in front of the club now? Has it been there for a year yet?
It's got to be approaching that. Yeah, that sign's pretty new.
It is so attractive.
It's really nice. They did a great job renovating there, so it's like it stands out and it catches your eye, definitely.
So was that done by committee, or did they commission it with someone? Or
I'm actually not sure who did the graphic design over at Q, but I do know that the rebrand initiative was done by their board.
Okay.
And staff there. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure who did the designing for them, but it's really eye-catching, you're right.
Yep, they did a really good job, for sure. And, of course, you know, the parade is part of Pride Week.
Mm-hmm.
I know I missed something last night. I'm a Unitarian-type guy, and we had an event at the Unitarian Center last night.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give us some details as to what I missed there?
The Unitarian Center last night had Gender Info Fair and Coffee House put on by TransAsk Support Services. So there was quite a few community organizations and individuals kind of set up in the basement of the Unitarian Center, just handing out information and talking to folks walking by who wanted to know a little bit more about transness or gender in general. And then in the upstairs, there was a coffee house kind of open mic style performative sharing thing that was going on. So there was free refreshments or by donation, I guess, and it looked like there were a lot of people there when I was there.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that. I think I was mosaiced out, and then I had a few other things last week, and I just kind of collapsed on Monday, and I gradually regained consciousness.
Yeah, I'll be there next week.
I see you've got a Camp Firefly shirt on.
I do, yeah.
So, is there anything, are they going to be participating in the parade, do you think?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think we put in a request to be marching by them, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they're definitely going to be there in full force, and camp this year is shaping up to be fantastic, though I can't quite recall the dates of it, which is interesting. I believe August... Yeah, I think it's that first weekend in August. We'll be Camp Firefly out at Lumsden. But
now, does the location of the camp sort of rotate between Saskatoon and Regina areas, sort of thing?
Yeah. I believe it's been rotating yearly in between.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. I knew sort of about Camp Firefly, but it had escaped to me that it sort of changes location every year.
Yeah. I think that's been operating pretty interestingly, too, because theoretically you're going to be getting a slightly different group of people coming out. But, I mean, there are, like, repeat campers every year, I've been told.
Right. And I suppose in, like, any other camp situation, you'll find some come back as counselors and
totally.
That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. It'll it starts to really sustain itself.
Yes, absolutely.
And the need is there, for sure.
Oh, absolutely, the need is there. And I think, like, the interesting thing about Camp Firefly is one of the few opportunities for LGBTQ and allied and kind of wherever on that spectrum you lie, youth, summer camp can be a pretty alienating experience in a way. And this is an interesting way to kind of bring those folks together to have that experience and to have that safer space and to kind of develop it and grow it. And it's just as much a summer camp for the adult leaders as it is it's just as much a camp for the adult leaders as it is for the youth. So
right, yeah, and all just sort of part of the I don't know, the ongoing development of awareness of trans and gay issues and pride and all the rest of that stuff. I noticed it was pointed out to me here in the QC publication, the Leader mm-hmm. Post puts out.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they've got a timeline here.
Yeah.
And I was talking to you earlier about how astonished I am about some of the developments that are mentioned here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a fairly short period of time, and you start to wonder how this sort of thing could happen so quickly. And how far back we were, I won't say quite in the dark ages, but it wasn't very bright back there.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just going to start off with one here. We'll all remember this. These people my age will certainly remember this.
Yeah, yeah.
In 1967, on December 21st, Justice Minister, so he would be in Lester Pearson's government, I would think, mm-hmm. at that time. Justice Minister Pierre Trudeau says there is no place for the state in the bedrooms of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a benchmark there, you know, really, when it comes right down to it. And maybe that's where it all started. and then in 69, Canada decriminalizes homosexual acts. So it was actually against the law?
Yeah.
Okay, to be against the law to be gay. Basically, mm-hmm. in 1969, up until May 14th of 1969. And then another kind of benchmark, not here, but in the States, in June 28th, and again in 1969, the gay community in New York City protests police harassment and raids of the Stonewall Inn, which marked the beginning of the public fight for gay rights. Mm-hmm. So 67, 69, those are kind of benchmark years.
Yeah, and this is a really interesting thing that, like, Stonewall had emerged as this iconographic moment in LGBT history, as, like, the moment that, you know, people were starting to push back and fight back. But I think similar riots had been happening out in San Francisco years before that. And I don't really know why this one kind of... had erupted and shaped in this way to be these days long riot and mm-hmm. kind of protest in the street about it. But yeah, there'd been certainly a lot of pushback historically for many years before that, all over the place, really.
I wonder if it isn't due in part to the development of media, you know, TV, that sort mm-hmm. of thing, where an event like that would be more of a local type thing and not that many people would be aware of it. But boy, you get the TV cameras and microphones in there and it goes all across the country.
Totally.
And these days, something like that can go across the world in minutes,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's people becoming aware.
Mm-hmm. Information transfer is such a helpful thing for gender and sexually diverse causes, I think. Absolutely.
I think it just makes people think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know, in sort of a situation where they can kind of do it at their leisure, you know, like you see something like that or hear something like that, when you've got time to think and ponder, and mm-hmm. That happens a few times, and maybe your brain starts to engage, you know, a little bit, and you start to think, well, that's not fair, mm-hmm. you know. Why is this happening? Mm-hmm. You know, thoughts like that start to filter in a little bit, you know.
For sure, and I think we were talking about this a little bit before the show, but the idea that maybe the push for LGBTQ equity has been so quick is maybe because things are so, they seem so simple. I mean, it is an issue of human rights, and it is an issue of baser like equity for human beings. So I think just the simplicity of it is probably aiding in how quickly we're able to have these conversations and develop education around it.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about the situation with some faith based organizations. I was involved with Eastside United Church a few years ago when they went into the process of becoming a welcoming congregation, and I'm not sure whether it took a year or two.
Yeah.
And the one thing that we were told was that we're not going to rush it. Mm. You know, it would be a huge mistake. Like, there were people, I believe, that wanted to say, "Okay, let's have a vote right now. Let's." Mm-hmm. No, this is crazy because it's who we are, mm-hmm. and let's just acknowledge who we are, and we'll put the question to the congregation, we'll have a vote. And they were told, no, we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have the conversation. We have to talk about this and make sure that everybody's on the same page and questions are asked and answered. And so we can all do this together, you know, from a point of knowledge and awareness, and then mm-hmm. nobody feels like it's being shoved down their throat.
Totally. You know. I think like meeting people where they're at in terms of their education and awareness and understanding of this issue is super important, and mm-hmm. Pushing forward with things without, I guess, providing that space to have conversation and reflect on it can be harmful in the long run, because, I mean, you're potentially alienating yourself and mm-hmm. future allies, but it is a frustrating reality of the situation. Like,
yeah.
as somebody who probably would have been among the folks that are going like, "Hey, this is my identity. What's wrong with you?" Mm-hmm. Of course, mm-hmm. like, of course I should be welcomed here. I can imagine how immensely frustrating that position would be.
Yeah. I think it probably had happened in a few locations where somebody just said, mm-hmm. "Okay, we'll just do a vote, or we'll have a meeting and we'll discuss it for half an hour and mm-hmm. we'll vote on it." And then you found some people who were really upset and probably left.
Yeah.
You know, so, I think they avoided that. And, I think people are generally, they're coming around here now and realizing that, it is the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the prejudices of the past were wrong,
mm-hmm.
just plain wrong and harmful.
Definitely. And I think a lot of that still leaks in today. Like we still have a community where I guess LGBTQ folks are still facing daily harassment and violence even today in this community. And that's mm-hmm. not something that we're able to talk about as much. But we've been, sorry, some noises going on.
Yep, yep.
This music. Studio here. some background music. Happily in my experience, though, I have, been, I guess, a person who's been targeted by, homophobic or transphobic violences in the city. I have seen a whole lot of transformation in terms of just having a conversation with somebody. So I think when somebody's first reaction is to be alarmed or upset by your presence, it's been, I've been really, really, really shocked at the amount of people willing to have a conversation with me with their mouths instead of their fists. But violence in this community is still something that we need to be addressing.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it's in other contexts as well, not just the one we're talking about here.
Absolutely.
So, there's work to be done for sure. I'm just going to go back to the timeline here.
Mm-hmm.
And, in 1972, in February 13th, the first meeting of Regina's gay community is held at Don Murdoch's home. Its official name is the, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, Atropos Friendship Society, which evolves into the Gay and Lesbian Community of Regina, a GLCR.
Mm-hmm.
It is Canada's oldest continuously running LGBT organization.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. Wow. So they've been at it since 1972. Mm-hmm. And skipping along here to 1975, April 1st, the University of Regina Students' Union and CUPE Local, CUPE, Local 1486 signed Saskatchewan's first labor agreement prohibiting discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. So 1975, so that's, what, 30, just about 40 years ago, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there.
My math skills have just disappeared. And in 1977, on March 12th, the Saskatchewan Association on Human Rights sponsors the largest gay rights demonstration ever held on the prairies at the Saskatchewan legislature with 125 people protesting, which would be a pretty good turnout, I would think. That's mm-hmm. a year before I arrived on the scene in Saskatchewan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that's a fair amount of progress in a fairly short period of time, and it's gotten better since then.
Yes, yes. I think the ball's still been rolling, probably with similar, maybe not pace quite as quick as that 10-year period, but definitely pushing quickly here.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, there's a few things that I have to mention in the timeline that are kind of startling to me mm-hmm. in the realm of politics and whatnot. But it's far enough back that I don't think I'll offend anybody.
Fingers crossed.
Yep. And anyway, we've got some music picked by Leo.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you very much, which we'll play after the break. So we'll be right back to talk about Pride Week and Pride and the parade and all that good stuff. So that'll be after the break and after the music. So we'll see you after that.
Love is a
yeah.
Ray Spoon, and they were at the Artesian not too long ago. I think it was, I don't know, a year or two. I'm not...
Probably just a year. I think they've been back.
Positive.
Yeah, lots of times.
Yeah.
In the past few years, but...
Great live performance if you mm-hmm. if you ever have a chance to see them.
Yeah, yeah. Really great live performance. They've been doing... some live shows with writer Ivan Coyote, Gender Failure. So it's been, I think that was the last show that was at the Artesian, actually.
Right.
Like a combination of songs and stories. So
yeah,
cool stuff.
I'm starting to filter back into my brain here. And there was a fair amount of, video. I don't know if there's a video or stills or whatever,
yeah.
But there was, yeah, there were pictures involved.
Multimedia.
Yeah. Multimedia stuff. And
super cool.
And good music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A few things here that on this, I'd encourage anybody if you can find a copy of this QC, it's great. It's dated June 11th.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, look for that if you can find it. It's really interesting. Here we got a picture of Minister of Government Services Ned Shillington talking with Gordon Cloke of the Saskatchewan Association on Human Rights on Saturday, March 12, 1977, at a demonstration for equal rights for homosexuals at the provincial legislature. So it's a little grainy. Technology has sure improved in that aspect. And another interesting side note here, we got another picture. Regina's first Pride, March took place on June 24th, 1990.
Oh, okay.
Okay. During the city's second Pride Week celebration, the first Pride Week was in 1989, Police Chief Ernie Reimer refused to issue a parade permit, but the march went forward anyway.
Right on.
Without a permit. I think things have improved considerably since then.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And let's see here. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, that was the picture with Ned Shillington, 1977. That was the one at which 125 people appeared at the ledge, and with all kinds of signs. It looks like they had lots of great signs.
They had stuff to say.
Yeah, for sure. And okay, now we move ahead, sort of, to a little different government at the time.
Mm.
And in 1984, there's a great day, year.
1984,
November 13, Attorney General Gary Lane describes homosexuality as an affront to nature. Yes. And says protecting homosexuals is not something Saskatchewan people want.
Mm.
Not exactly a step forward there, Gary.
An affront to nature.
Affront,
oh, my.
Yeah.
How important.
Yeah. But, next year, a positive move. April 17th of 1985, Section 15 of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which guarantees equality, is enacted. So there's a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
In 1986, AIDS Regina, today AIDS Program South Saskatchewan, is incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, AIDS is a fact of life, and not really just in the... Not just in the homosexual, the gay community mm-hmm. anymore. All right, but then we've got Justice Minister Bob Andrew in 1987 says Saskatchewan will not follow Manitoba's example in providing human rights protections to homosexuals and that there are important problems.
Important problems.
Important problems.
That's a really fun thing to put on like a business card, do you think? Like, important problem.
Yeah. And we have a little more sort of, you've got politics involved in this.
Yeah.
You really do.
Definitely.
The politicians are trying, they're more concerned about keeping their votes or getting votes than looking after people's freedom or, human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really demonstrated here. 1988, Premier Grant Devine reacts to MP Sven Robinson's declaration of his homosexuality. And Premier Grant Devine compares homosexuals to bank robbers.
To bank robbers? What's the logic?
For whatever reason they have to take from people, which is illegal and, in my view, immoral, I still have compassion.
Oh, dear.
But I don't condone the activity. That's a theme, unfortunately, here in some opposing groups.
Oh, absolutely.
Still today.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, this is a good one here. 1989, June 19th, City Council proclaims June 21st to 25th lesbian/gay pride weekend by a vote of 6-4.
Wow.
After death threats to councillors, mm-hmm. a meeting is called to rescind the proclamation, but Councillor Joe McEwen refuses to give the unanimous consent necessary, and he's quoted as saying, "Hate mongering, in my mind, has no place in this city."
Awesome.
So, good for you, Joe. He's not with us anymore, but he was a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm.
So then in 1989, Regina held its first Pride Weekend. So
that's incredible.
You know, it's not that long ago.
No.
Yeah, that's what just astounds me, that, you know, this discussion is not that old.
No.
And of course it's ongoing, but boy, we've made progress.
At least a lot of the public officials kind of going on record and saying these things has probably decreased, but I think a lot of these attitudes are still pretty definitely there in a lot of spheres right now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I was just thinking about Michaela, mm-hmm. Who was on the program before us,
mm-hmm.
and she's gone out, I don't know whether this is the second or third year, she's gone out to communities all across
mm-hmm.
the province and gotten statements of support from the councils at municipalities across Saskatchewan.
Trans Awareness Week, yeah.
Trans Awareness Week. So, good for her.
Yeah.
And I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the councils, you know, taking a look at what the situation is. I know she had one situation, I forget which municipality it was, but their comment was, "We don't have any of those people here."
That's always such a funny thing to hear.
Right.
It's like, really? Are you magic?
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, it's interesting how the discussion has evolved, you
mm-hmm.
know. And I think, again, that it has an awful lot to do with new media and the discussion. It's easier to have the discussion with people, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're seeing things happen, seeing things develop, and they're recognizing that it's the right thing to do,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, Camp Firefly, another fantastic example of people doing the right thing,
mm-hmm.
because it's been tragic in many circumstances,
mm-hmm.
the way kids have been treated when they just don't fit in to their group.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of times there's misunderstanding all over the place. And I would imagine in a lot of cases, the kids themselves aren't sure what's going on.
No, totally. And that's a really hard position, I think, for anybody to be in, youth especially, just not having that community, not mm-hmm. having that, like, support network behind you. And I think I can speak to my own experience of coming from what I found to be an incredibly supportive family and a surprisingly supportive friend group through my coming out process. Even in that process, I was still feeling super isolated and super far away from other people like me. So creating these situations where people can connect with each other and find each other and just exist in a space where maybe your sexuality or gender is not the first thing on your mind, because it doesn't have to be, because you're not concerned mm-hmm. for your safety or concerned about other people's perceptions. That kind of community building, I think, is a really profound thing.
Yeah. Well, you look around and you can see, oh, here's some other people like me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so hidden, so kind of buried before, that you look around and, oh, there's nobody like me. I'm weird, or there's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with, desperately wrong with me. And that could lead to tragic circumstances and
For
did,
sure.
you know,
and still does, definitely. Yeah. Like, bullying and harassment and this kind of isolation occurring in our school system in Saskatchewan right now is still very, very, very real and very much there. And, mm-hmm. and the harm that it's causing to individuals and families is massive. Like we're mm-hmm. losing, we're losing each other in this. We really are.
I think it's getting easier, but it's still not easy.
You know, right.
For people to come out. I think you're now here. I'm just guessing,
mm-hmm, for sure.
But I think you're still finding people who are coming out after years mm-hmm. of quote unquote being in the closet,
mm-hmm.
and they finally realize, well, there is some hope here, mm-hmm. you know, and they know that it's not that big a deal anymore. It's still a deal, you mm-hmm. know, and I know. Like some people who come out as transgender,
mm-hmm.
They know they're really swimming upstream on this one. Anybody that thinks that they're doing this for fun has got to be crazy.
I know.
You know? Nobody wants to do this.
No.
You know, because they are proclaiming to the world that they are really different and they're not fitting in, and
mm-hmm.
but they have to do it to be, you know, sort of true to themselves.
Yeah, be authentic and genuine. I think that's such a difficult struggle in navigating, I guess, both your internal sense of self and how you're interacting with community and building community in that way is how do I remain authentic to mm-hmm. my own truth and my own identity while still being able to create these connections? Like, are they at odds with each other? And if so, is this the right kind of community for me? Like, is this mm-hmm. what I want? I think the whole rhetoric about coming out is such such a challenging one, because we're talking about coming out from, like, we have young folks coming out now, you know,
mm-hmm.
People as young as, as young as you can find them coming mm-hmm. out, and people coming out later on in life after being married to in a heterosexual marriage for a few years. And these are really broad sweeping issues with a lot of weight attached to them. And yeah, the fact that coming out isn't just that one singular moment, like nobody gets to say, okay, I'm out now. Like, it's continual. It's mm-hmm. a constant declaration. It's a constant, like, reminder of other people, like, well, no, I I am this way.
Mm-hmm. 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 And I think that the straight community, for want of a better term,
mm-hmm.
and it's really a misconception in itself, because mm-hmm. we all know that it's a spectrum, mm-hmm. you know, of sexuality, gender, etc. We're all a mix, and
mm-hmm.
and it isn't even a constant thing.
No.
But I think the sort of duty that the so-called straight people have is to make themselves aware,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be prepared to be supportive.
Yeah.
You know? So that there's less trepidation from the folks that find themselves in this situation. And so when they decide, okay, they're going to take the leap and say, okay, fine, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to pretend anymore. I'm not one of you straight guys or yeah, whatever. Yeah. I'm a little different. You mm-hmm. know, I haven't changed. I'm still the same person,
mm-hmm.
but there is a difference that you're not aware of. And here it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is where I think that it's valuable for the organizations, you know, like the two we were just discussing, the Unitarian Center and the United Church. It's so important and valuable that we make people aware that here's a place where they can feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And that's building spaces like that is, especially coming at it with an allied lens. So mm-hmm. Allied folks would be folks who don't necessarily identify within a spectrum of sexualities that aren't heterosexual or gender identities that aren't conformative. But this is an important piece of work for allies to be doing, is that listening piece and mm-hmm. that, like, being prepared to be wrong and being prepared to, not just be supportive, but be wrong mm-hmm. and know, like, mm-hmm. okay, well, I came into this with some misconceptions and I'm being corrected constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fine position to be in. I mean,
sure.
We're all at varying positions in whatever educational journey we're in, and kind of being reminded that, like, no, you're on the right track, but what you said there may be not so right. And like, this is how, as a person who will be accessing this space, I see myself accessing it. And this creation of space can definitely learn a lot from the people who will be accessing it.
Yeah, it's tragic that there are still organizations that totally reject the whole concept, mm-hmm. that somehow or other they think, and they'll quote the good book, the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and as justification for their attitudes, and I think it's nothing short of tragic.
Yeah, it's really very frustrating, and it does a disservice to faith-based communities as well. It's incredibly frustrating to be in that bind, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, when you think about it, I've heard stories of there was one friend of mine who tried desperately to stay in his church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he absolutely wanted to stay in his church. That was his group, his family,
mm-hmm.
his peers, the whole thing, his school. It was very much faith-based in his particular faith, but it just wouldn't work. It
no.
just, he had to, in the end, he had to leave it. And, you know, it's, it shouldn't be that way.
No.
And, the message has to get out, I think. Mm-hmm. And then that's a large part of why we're sitting here right now.
Yeah. Creating these conversations and an opportunity for people to just do that simple reflection is, really one of the most important things that we can be doing right now, is continuing to have these conversations and continuing to do them in public.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of hopefully pique somebody's interest and inspire somebody to do some reflecting.
Yeah, do some reflecting, do a little reading, do a little mm-hmm. research, you know, a little contemplation, and then you're ready for whatever encounter may
yeah.
happen.
Totally.
And you'll be more accommodating, and you can be of some use.
It can certainly be of some use.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, like we've been saying, somebody who decides they have to make this giant step and proclaim that they're sort of off the spectrum compared to, you know, it's hard to even describe what normal is when it comes right down to it. Like, what mm-hmm. is normal?
There is no normal.
There is no normal, yeah. So, I mean, that's sort of bizarre in itself. Here we want everybody to be normal.
Yeah, normal's such a fallacy. There's no, like, these unattainable normal visions.
Yeah. But I guess it's clear to say what everybody wants to fit in.
Yes, absolutely.
So, some of us just have more difficulty fitting in than others, you
mm-hmm.
know. And once again, we're talking about a spectrum.
Yeah.
You know, some people, they're right in the center, and people have to conform to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have to conform to anybody else. So, like,
lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. We are the elite. You know. So if you're a lot like us, well, then you're in, and if you're not like us, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that ends up hurting a lot of people in the long run,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think, like, again, we've made a lot of progress. It's amazing when you start looking. I'm going to look at the old timeline here again. And, okay, turn the page.
There's a lot of timeline.
There is. I just nicely got started there here, too. I'm just looking for something. Alrighty. Oh, here's a good one. 1991, the second Pride March sees 100 people shouting, "We're here, we're queer, we're not about to disappear."
Oh, that's fantastic.
And now here's some progress. 1993, February 6th, an Angus Reid poll records that 55% of Saskatchewan and Manitoba residents believe gay people should be protected from discrimination.
Wow.
55%.
Yeah.
You know, room for improvement, but
that's something.
But it's going in the right direction. Same year, June 22nd, Saskatchewan becomes the seventh province to include sexual orientation in its human rights legislation as Bill 38 passes 31-10 in the legislature. Oh, this is kind of interesting. Here in 1994, in April 14th, Police Chief Reimer is found to have violated the right to freedom of expression in refusing to issue the permit for Pride Week in 1990.
Whoa.
And he resigned on April 22nd.
Huh. Whoa.
Okay. And moving right along here, 1998, City Council refuses to issue a civic proclamation of the city's first full-length Pride Week. A little backward step there.
That is a backward step.
And, okay. Wow. During Pride Week, this is 1999, June 18th to the 26th. During Pride Week, CKTV host Alex Docking asks a Pride Committee member whether the civic proclamation will pave the way for a pedophile's week.
Oh, my goodness. No.
He apologizes after public protest.
No kidding.
I don't remember that.
Oh, that's awful. Ugh.
I'm speechless.
Gross.
I'm speechless. No, so it's been back and forth and up and down.
That's holy frustrating.
Wow, just amazing. Just amazing. But that's what you're up against, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why we have to do the educating. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are people that ask, well, why do you have to keep talking about it?
Yeah, this.
Well,
this keeps popping up.
Yeah, you gotta make sure people know and they're aware and stop the misconceptions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you still hear that one.
Yeah,
you still hear that one. I hadn't heard that it was actually said on TV.
That's wow. Really, that's terrible.
Okay. Yeah. Boy, oh boy. It's amazing. Oh, and here we got Bill Watcott.
Oh, yeah.
There's a downer right there. I won't. Mm. Yeah. He delivers anti-gay flyers to 5,000 homes. He needs a life. Yeah.
He well, needs, this is his life.
You know, jeepers.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Okay, well, let's look for something a little more. Okay. Okay. Well, 2004. Five same-sex couples seek an order from the Court of Queen's Bench that the definition of marriage in Saskatchewan includes same-sex couples. Neither the federal or provincial government oppose the order. So, there you go. Kind of positive.
Kind of positive. No opposition.
Awesome. That's right. That's right. Oh, here we go. In 2005, a human rights tribunal orders Watcott to pay $17,500 in restitution for distributing anti-gay flyers in 2001 and 2002. Watcott files an appeal. Well, they don't say where that ended up. And Court of Appeal in 2011 unanimously decides that it is unconstitutional for marriage commissioners to turn away gay couples.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we go all the way to the Supreme Court with Mr. Watcott.
Mm-hmm.
Supreme Court of Canada, 2013, we're getting closer to home here now, rules unanimously that Watcott incited hatred against homosexuals by distributing pamphlets in 2001 and 2002. But, you know,
the timeline on that is just so long.
He's still doing it, though.
He's still doing it, yeah.
So, you know, I kind of went at this to kind of show that you know, we'd been making some improvements, but boy, there have been improvements, but boy, we still have a ways to go.
We certainly do, yeah. We absolutely do.
Yeah, you've got Bill Watcott and company
still doing their thing.
Doing what they're doing. And anyway, we've reached the end of our time, Leo.
Cool.
And thank you very much for coming and
thanks for having me.
Talking about things, Pride and the parade and Camp Firefly and all those good things. And we'll probably be talking about this again sometime in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we close this week's Human Rights Radio and CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For information on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."